Good morning. How's everybody doing? You brave the elements out there. It's raining a little bit. Hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you just a second. But I'm hoping and praying that this message today really connects with lots of people. The other two sermons that we did in the series, I really believe was effective. But I believe that you could take this sermon right here and apply it to the other two. I really believe that God really wants to speak to some people today. Right? And so what I want to do is I want to start out by praying because I want God to open up spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and, man, do some large things in people's lives. They bring some freedom and just really, really work, okay, and help you understand things a little bit different. Right? I'm wanting you to see your marriage in a different way, all right? And so I'm hoping and praying that God will use it today. Let me pray for us, all right? Is that cool? Father, we love you. God, I thank you, Father, for the people in this room. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, God, you would open up spiritual ears, that you would open up spiritual eyes, and that, God, you would help us to see things the way you do, and that, God, you would teach us how to fight. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, Father, that you'd keep people's attention. God, I know the enemy wants to do everything he can to distract and disturb. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would do things larger than us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. God, we just bind the enemy away from this place in Jesus' name. He has no right here. God, your Holy Spirit is the only spirit that is called to be here. So in Jesus' name, come in power and come in glory in your name. And everybody say, come on, come on. Hey, listen, I might get a little crazy today. I might preach and spit. And are y'all okay with that? Okay. All right, let me get after it a little bit. Hey, listen, we got a panel that we're going to bring up here, but I want to just share with you just some things from my heart today. You know, I really believe that most people are probably roommates in their marriage today more than they are soulmates. And a lot of times we don't even realize it. And I really believe that the enemy has duped a lot of people, okay? I really think that the enemy has really blinded people. I think that he has taught us, I think he's honestly duped the church in a lot of different ways. Today, we're going to talk a lot about spiritual warfare. And there's a lot of churches out there that don't really even believe in spiritual warfare, that doesn't believe that there are demons and that there are angels and that they're out to basically fight for you. Here, let me give you just in just an easy practical way to understand warfare. All right, there is a cosmic battle that is taking place around us every day, all day. All of hell and all of heaven is at war for you. We are in the middle of a cosmic battle, and God has chosen us. For some reason, this is the mystery, some of the mysteries of God that I do not understand, but he has called us to fight in the middle of this war. And there's something about it. I don't understand it. This is the best way I can explain it and the easiest way for people to understand. There's something about it that whenever we step up and fight and recognize the war, that God begins to really move in large ways. And so what I want you to know today more than anything else is that there is a war that's going on for your marriage. The devil, the enemy, hates marriage with a passion. Why does he hate marriage with a passion? Because when you came and said, I do at the altar, not only did you say, I do to your spouse, you said, I do to God. There was a covenant and a vow that was made at the altar with God. And the enemy hates covenants. He hates vows that we make unto God. And so he wants to do everything he can to cut the contract, to split it, to get rid of it the best way he knows how. And so the enemy is at war. And so he's duped us so much that churches don't even really talk about it. I mean, there's a lot of people who've been in church all their life that after I get done today, some of you out here may think, like, man, that dude is crazy. He is a nut job. Like, man, he is talking about demons and angels and, man, what's going on? But I'm sitting there thinking, like, isn't that what Genesis through Revelation is all about, the spiritual realm? You know, let me ask you a question for anybody that's read the Bible. I think that even if you haven't read the Bible, and even if you're brand new to church, I mean, there's a place where you understand there are spiritual things that's going on around us. I mean, I could go a jillion different directions with this today, but we're going to talk a lot about marriage in this. But if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus, especially Mark, I mean, the book of Mark, it seems like almost every single chapter, Jesus is casting out demons out of somebody somewhere. He cast them out one time and put them in some pigs, had some deviled ham. Listen, that was really stupid. That's old school. That's an old school preacher. Listen, but you got to know. So listen, if you don't believe in demonic warfare today, if you don't believe that demons are real today, well, where did they go when Jesus was? What happened? Did Jesus get rid of all of them? I mean, are they all gone? Because today, he's the same God today as he was yesterday. And so if they were all gone, wouldn't this world be a little bit better place? And people would say, well, we're not warring against. There's not a demon behind every bush. The more I walk with Jesus, I think there's two demons behind every bush. There is a war going on for you and for your marriage and for your kids. There is a war that's going on for churches, and we've bought into it in some ways. The enemy, he's subtle. He wants to deceive us. And so, you've got to recognize the war. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor. By the way, be strong in the Lord. We are weak. He is strong. The only way we can ever be strong is only in Jesus. That's it, in the Lord's power. Then it says, put on all of God's armor. Why do you put on the armor of God? You don't put on the armor of God to dance around the tulips and go to the florist, all right? You put on armor to fight, right? Why do we put on armor? Because God's called us to be warriors, because we're in a fight. It says, so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. 1 Peter says to be alert of all the schemes of the enemy. The Bible says he's got strategies, he's got tricks, he's got schemes, and he is an ancient foe, and he knows how to read you and knows your weaknesses and desires to take you down. That's why it's so important that we stay close to the heart of God. And it all comes back to deception. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Listen to this. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare, this is what it says. For we are not fighting. You're in a war. You put on the armor of God to fight. We are not fighting against all strategies of the devil. I mean, we're not warring. We're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. In other words, we're not fighting with each other. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Practicality, the practical, that phrase right there, the practical meaning of that means I'm not fighting with you and you're not fighting with me. So if we're not fighting with each other, if you're not fighting with your spouse, then who are we fighting against? Listen to what it says. But we are fighting against, because you're in a war. You're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. This is a whole nother message in and of itself, but did you know there is a government set up in the dark realm, and there's a government set up with the kingdom of God? There's principalities, there's territorial spirits, there's evil spirits. Some of you are like, give me more of that. No, I'm not giving you more of that, because we're going to talk about marriage today. But I'm telling you, there's a war. You're in the middle of it, and they're out to destroy you. They're out to destroy your marriage. Listen, I want you to hear me. Whether you're intentional with your marriage or not, the enemy is way intentional with your marriage. The enemy is intentional with your marriage, against your marriage. If you're not intentional, he is. And by the way, if you're not intentional, then you've bought into his deception. Because people who want their marriage to be successful and make Jesus the foundation are intentional in their marriage to become more like Jesus through their spouse, with their spouse. So you've kind of bought in. The enemy's intentional about your marriage, whether you are or not, and it's intentional to destroy it. Can I ask you a question? You know, the spouse that you're really frustrated with at times and you fight with and bark at and have differences with, and sometimes you don't really like them. And maybe you don't like them right now, and this is really awkward for you. And so you put your arm around your spouse, and you think, oh, dear God, I got to make the pastor look like I love her. All right, listen, I'm just kidding. Keep your arm around her. Listen, Let me ask you a question. What would happen if you walked into your house right now and there was a lion on top of your spouse? What would you do? Some of y'all are like, I would let him gobble her up. No. Listen, anybody with a right mind would do everything they could to get that lion off their spouse. They'd try to distract it. They'd get the broom. They'd poke it in the eye, jump on its back. I don't know what you would do, but you'd do everything possible to rescue your spouse. Do you know that's what's happening with your marriage right now? Doesn't the Bible say in 1 Peter that we fight against a roaring lion? See, I want to teach you today how to fight lions instead of fighting with your spouse. You're fighting the wrong battles. You're not warring against flesh and blood. Hey, doesn't the Bible say that God hates dissension? I mean, the seven things that God hates, how about four or five? I think four, maybe five have things to do with the tongue. It's Proverbs. I think it's chapter 7. I can't remember where it says in Proverbs. Hey, doesn't the Bible talk about, like, how much God hates strife and dissension? And well, don't you think that the things that God hates are the things that the enemy's going to attack you with? And he's going to lie to you and give you false accusations and false lies about your spouse to make you start thinking that it's all your spouse's fault, why our marriage is bad. But in reality, the enemy is whispering in your ear the whole time. Why? Because we're not warring against flesh and blood, right? We got to recognize the war. The enemy is whispering. And we've got to fight different. Instead of fighting against them, we start fighting for them. Y'all, the 11:30 service, this could be a long day. I hope not. We're going to try to get out of here. Listen, I just made all y'all nervous. Like, oh, God, I got a pot roast in the oven. Listen, if you got to go, go. I want you to hear me. I'm going to try my best to go quick, but I need you to hear this, all right? You know, I think about Daniel. Daniel chapter 10. If you don't know this story, just go read it. You can go read it, okay? I think about Daniel chapter 10. And here's Daniel fasting. That's where a lot of people get some of the Daniel fast. Some of it comes from chapter 1. But Daniel's fasting for 21 days, and he's praying because God's got a word for Daniel. And so Daniel is fasting and praying for a word from God. And so what we see in the text is that the archangel Michael is trying to bring this word down to Daniel. And we see in the text that archangel Michael is fighting through the cosmic realm to bring this word down to Daniel, and the prince of Persia, a demon, a principality, goes and fights the archangel Michael for 21 days trying to get the word down to Daniel. Go read it. If you don't believe in spiritual warfare, here's another picture that you could probably read about warfare, because I think this is one of the best pictures of what warfare looks like. So the archangel Michael has to call Gabriel to come and help him fight so that he can get on down to Daniel and give him the word. So now you got two of God's angels and one demon fighting together. And so Jake Hendon, who is our ARAB pastor, is somebody that I love to sit around and talk theology with. There's not very many people I like to do that with, because most people like to debate and argue. This guy's just somebody we can just bounce things off of. So we talk about a lot of things that most people don't talk about. We're nerds when it comes to that kind of stuff. And so I ask him one day, I was like, what does that look like? What is like a spiritual battle? I mean, like the Archangel Michael and the Prince of Persia is fighting, like they're spirits. I mean, like the way I picture them is like they're in the universe, just like kind of like Thor or something. They're like rolling around and punching each other and got their knives out. But they're spirits. I mean, you can't fight with a sword. I mean, you can't cut them. You can't hit them. Like, you just go right through them. What does that look like? And he said, you know what I've always thought? I thought this was really good. I've never thought about this. He said, I feel like the Prince of Persia, it comes down to people. The Prince of Persia is out putting lies in people's minds, and the messengers of God are having to come back and replace it with truth. And there's this war taking place over the thoughts and the minds of people. And they're having to battle constantly for people. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. That's good. That may be completely wrong, but I'll be honest with you, it makes more sense than anything I've ever heard in my life. Because honestly, that's what's happening in here today. That's what's happening with us when we leave these four walls, that the devil's constantly trying to produce lies. He's a liar. He's the father of lies, is what the Bible says. And all he does is place lies in people's heads about people, about themselves, about life. He places lies. And basically, God is the God of truth. And so God is always trying to bring people around to truth. What does the Bible say? It is the truth that sets us free, right? And so whenever we get truth and we remove the lies of what the enemy's saying and we walk in truth, it produces freedom in our lives. And what's the enemy trying to keep you from? He's trying to keep you from freedom. Huh? He wants you to continue to walk in bondage. He wants your marriage to be full of bondage. He doesn't want your marriage to be walking. He don't really want you actually being soulmates in your marriage. If I can just keep them roommates, they don't have to bark and fight and scream at each other. If I can keep them in separate rooms and sharing the same bed and sharing the same house, if I can just keep them roommates and coding their love towards each other, I got them right where I want them. It's lies. It's lies. And we could go a jillion different ways. We don't even have to talk about marriage with this. This goes into every other area of life. There's people in this room that's bought into party lifestyle and clubbing and alcohol and drugs, and you think, man, I'm going to find satisfaction in that, and it's all a trap. And you know, you're just as miserable as you ever was, and it's never brought pleasure to your life. Why? Because you bought into the lies, but Jesus says, there's freedom in me. I'm the only one that can give you a real high. Chase after me. Pursue me. Whoa, I've gone way too long. Listen, the reason why people are roommates more than soulmates in their marriage is because nobody seems to fight for their marriages anymore. Nobody fights for their marriages anymore. And part of the problem is that we don't understand that there's a war outside of me and my spouse that's taking place, because the church, us, we do a really bad job of teaching people about spiritual warfare and the enemy wanting to attack you. Maybe not all churches, but a lot. And then we will, as a church, a lot of times make you think you are a nut job, you are crazy if you start talking about spiritual warfare in church. Man, you guys have just flipped the lid and you have drank the Kool-Aid. Isn't that what the devil wants? He hides behind doctrine that's wrong. If there's no such thing as spiritual warfare, then you take your scissors when you get home and you cut out Ephesians chapter 6, Daniel chapter 10, and most of Mark. If there's no such thing, that's what the enemy wants, and it works. You're under attack. We don't fight anymore. Can I tell you the number one thing the enemy wants to do in your marriage? He wants to take the fight out of you. He wants to take the fight out of you. And he wants you to place the fight on somebody that you're not supposed to be fighting with, because we don't war against flesh and blood. He wants you to think that it's somebody else's fault why our marriage is bad. He takes the fight out of you. I wonder how many in this room have quit fighting. Holy Spirit's strong in here today, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. It's stronger in this service than it was the other two. And I ain't trying to say like God does things different, but there's something different. God's trying to speak to somebody. I don't know who you are. He spoke to people in the other services, but I'm telling you, he wants to speak to somebody in here today. A lot of somebodies. Are you seriously doing everything possible to fight for your marriage? Are you doing everything possible to fight for your marriage? You know, the thing about it is most of you know this stuff. You know why? Because most of you, we live in Coleman, Alabama. Most of you grew up in church. Most of you know this stuff. It's not about knowing the stuff. It's about doing it. But no, most of us know about it, but we don't do anything with it. And then we could preach a sermon on this all day long, go a jillion different directions with it. All it is intellectual retention. We just hold it in there. But we just continue to live our lives the way we want to. It's warfare. Some of you say, well, how do I fight? Let me just give you these quickly. You fight on your knees. You fight on your face. Well, when do I go to my face? Well, every single day, but you do it whenever you recognize the war. You got to recognize the war first. So when the enemy is screaming in your ear all the negative and bad things about your spouse, you recognize that that's not coming from you. The enemy is whispering so that he can get in your flesh. A lot of people say, we don't need the enemy anymore. We've got enough flesh to be evil. Well, you're right. I understand that. But where do you think the enemy tempts us? He tempts us in our flesh. And so he whispers. And he tells you all the things that's bad about your spouse. And when you buy into it, your heart begins to become hard towards them. And you start looking for ways to bark at them and tell them all the things that they're doing wrong. It's about being intentional. And you fight on your knees, because when you stay on your knees, God will keep you close to his heart. And so whenever the enemy starts whispering, the Lord will, your spirit will quicken. The Holy Spirit inside of you will quicken and will reveal to you that my wife is not the problem. My husband is not the problem. The enemy is coming against me, and I recognize that. And in Jesus' name, I command you to be silent. And I will keep my mouth closed, and I will walk selfless. And I will be who God's called me to be. I will fight for my marriage, and I will be the warrior God's called me to be. You fight by dropping your pride and let somebody help you if you're having issues in your marriage. Man, if I just don't want nobody to know, me and my wife got problems in our marriage. Are you kidding me? Everybody's got problems in their marriage, some way, form, or fashion. Ain't nobody got perfect marriage, including pastor. I can give you stories. My wife's been, it's really funny stuff, but I won't talk about it right now. Listen, because we ain't got time. Go get some help. People wouldn't come to the marriage conference because they were worried that if they came, that somebody would think they got something wrong with their marriage. There's a great possibility. People in this room right here didn't come to the marriage conference because they worried about what other people would think about their marriage. Like, I think all of us need to go to the marriage conference. I was on the front row. Because it's pride. You fight by loving your spouse unconditionally, no matter how selfish they are. You fight with using the right tone of voice. You fight with your marriage by working at communication. You fight for your marriage by being selfless. You fight for your marriage by putting Jesus at the forefront of your marriage. And we could go on and on and on and on. Some of y'all are thinking about ways to fight for your marriage that I've not even mentioned, because I know there are a jillion different ways that you can fight for your marriage. The point is to do it. Work at it. It's work. It's hard work. Praying. Honestly, even if you're not praying for you, just praying, period, is hard. Because the enemy's going to try to keep you, number one, out of your prayer closet. He's going to try to keep you from praying for this church on Wednesday nights, keep you from here. Because when you get into your prayer time, it's amazing how the enemy attacks you then. It's a war when you get in there, especially for people with ADD like me. Like, holy cow, I can't focus. Adi, adi, adi. God, just bring me back in. That's great, but thank God he understands me and he doesn't beat me down. But it's a war. It's a fight. Listen, there's a jillion different ways to fight. One of my best friends in the world, an incredible pastor friend of mine, a guy that mentors me, he told me a story about his dad one time. His dad is one of the most sweet, most gentle men I've ever met. He's a pastor, by the way. He's a retired pastor. Now, he actually is on staff, but he doesn't go to the pulpit every week. He just kind of supports a guy. Just incredibly humble. And he told me the story about his dad, and he told me the story about his mom. And he said that his mom was harsh and hateful and vindictive and mean to his dad. And all his daddy ever did was just serve her, constantly give his life away to her. And he said, one day, I just got fed up with it, man. I got sick and tired of listening to how she talked to him and how he served her, and he didn't deserve it. And so I went to my dad, and I said, hey, Dad, why you put up with her crap? Why you let her talk to you like that? Why? She's vindictive. She's hateful. She's not nice. Why do you put up with that? He says, son, God tells me that I'm to love my wife as Christ loves the church. Christ loves the church unconditional. I've been hateful and vindictive, and I've been wrong with God. But yet his mercy was so large that he still pursued me and loved me. And Christ loving the church all is wrapped around service. He serves us. And so I serve her. I serve her. He said, Christ hasn't called me. He's called me to be have unconditional love, no matter how she treats me. But he said even a higher calling is that I'm to be obedient to him, whether I like her or not. I'm to be obedient to him and to serve her and to be Jesus to her. He said it changed his life. Changed his life. When he told me, it changed the way I view my marriage. I'll be honest with you, that lady died. Man, he got a new wife, and he's as happy as a kid. He's happy as a lark. Some of y'all think, like, what? Like, all you got to do is outlive your spouse, and everything will be great. Listen, I'm just kidding. Somebody said, amen. That's not right. Golly. Oh, my gosh. We're going to pray for y'all in Jesus' name. Settle free. Listen. But the big picture is God's called us to fight for our spouse and not fight with them. I got some couples I want to bring up here, and we're already behind, but it's all good. Come on. Corey and Krista and Brian and Jazz, I want to bring them up here, and I want them to just share a little bit of their stories of how they fought for their marriage and how God has used them in large, large ways. So come on in here and have a seat. Brian, share with us a little bit about yours and your wife's marriage and what God's done in y'all's life, you and Jazz, and just where you been, where you came from, where you are now.
All right, real quick. We were dating in college, and anyways, we ended up getting pregnant, said, uh-oh, let's get married. And we planned a wedding in 28 days, and then shortly thereafter had a beautiful baby girl. Her name was Sophia, and we were rocking on strong. Everything was good in the world, so we thought, until we get to 364, a day before her birthday, and Jasmine has a wreck right by the house, and Sophia wasn't able to make it through that one. It was a little too much. We get together, we get to the house, we're doing what people are telling us to do, you know, grieve, take your time, take off work, this, that, and another. And it really didn't set in. Reality doesn't set in. Well, for me, it didn't. Until a little later on, you start, you know, kind of seeing where things are rolling. You start bickering a little bit, and bickering turns into a little heavier bickering, and that turns into full-on fighting. And then before you know it, you know, y'all are separated. She's gone. I stayed at the house. And I guess really, from that point, I kind of want to talk to y'all first about not fighting fair. And I've said this in the other two services, we're experts on how not to fight, because we exhausted every avenue, whether that be slamming each other's family, accusing each other of this and that, you know, just saying hateful things, things you will never be able to get back. And it's just I mean, it's one thing after another. You think you're fighting, you know, to get your wife back. You know, you don't talk for a while. When you do talk, y'all fight and argue and yell. And, you know, I went on this spree. I went through the house just like a good country song would. And I did. I turned on Johnny Paycheck, and I just started burning stuff, like broker unity sand, burning pictures, stuff you'll never get back. And you look back on it, and you're just like, my goodness. you know, I was going about this all the wrong way in hopes that she would come back to me. Now, what? How does that make sense?
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
What is Johnny Paycheck? Is that a country singer?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I listen to Christian music only. Anyway, I'm just kidding.
Anyways, yeah, that's kind of how I...
All the religious people just got mad at me. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's how I didn't fight fair. It was really ugly and said a lot of hurtful things. And you better watch that mouth. It's ugly.
Like Brian said, I was in a car accident, and it did claim the life of our first daughter. And in that moment, I was given two choices, and I could either... hold on to the fact that I know with 100% certainty that the only person that could ever love her more than I could is holding her right now. But instead, I took the other approach that was, why? Why me? Why did you do this? I'm a good mom. I'm this. I'm that. And continued to feed off that negative energy. And within a few short months after her passing away, Brian said I had moved out of the house and we were going nowhere fast. And Andy mentioned, you know, demons. And those demons for me was the enemy whispering in my ear to step outside of my marriage and have an affair. And then it was all these prescription meds that you're getting for depression. Let's take them all at the same time. And then if that's not working, let's just get so belligerently drunk that we just can't function. That'll fix things. That's gonna make it all go away. And that didn't, just in case y'all were wondering. And it wasn't until even after Brian called one day and said, hey, you know, let's do this. And I still wasn't on board. And something finally clicked. And even in that moment, we... we're living back in the same house, but we were 3 months back into trying to make our marriage work, and we were still failing miserably. And it wasn't until we said, hey, you know, we can't do this. We will continue to fail if we don't figure something else out. And Andy asked us in the last service if we had something to say.
Like if there's somebody here that feels like their marriage is not restorable, or they feel like they're at the end of their ropes with their marriage, and they feel like, you know, I just can't fight no more, what would you tell them? Because y'all have gone through worse stuff than about anybody I've ever met.
Yeah, and for me, that was, like I said, we moved back in the same house and we're trying to roll through these motions, and Brian said we're accusing each other and we're bringing up the past that's continued to happen, and we're trying to like, physically forgive each other for the things that we've done. But for me, that would be forgiving yourself, because that was a hard thing for me. And it was, you know, how am I supposed to expect him to forgive me for all the bad things that I feel like I've done? And in that moment was, you know, taking the life of our only daughter, stepping outside of our marriage and being someone that I'm not. And we started by obviously coming to church and stuff, but we joined a life group, and through that, it taught me what true forgiveness was and what walking in freedom was. And in that moment, it was what opened the door for me and Brian to be able to really get on the right track.
So you say everybody needs to go to a life group.
That's right.
Plug. Listen, everybody really does need to go to a life group. It's crazy.
To kind of just bring this all back around real quick, here's where it's at, in my opinion. You've got a couple of options when adversity hits you. You can take option A, which is what we just discussed, or you can take option B, which is, you know, to really just turn this over to God and say, you know, hey, this is yours. I brought this up, you know, past two services. My grandma, I was talking to her, and I was just kind of telling her, you know, what was going on and what my prayers were. And she stopped me in my tracks. She said, Brian, you need, rather than praying that God brings your wife back, you need to be praying that God changes your life. You need to step away from, you know, asking God for what you think you need. You don't know what you need. You don't know anything. You need to focus on you. God, change me. God, make me who you want me to be. Put me in positions where you can work through me and I can just honor you in the things that I do. And in return, he did do that. He put, you know, the fairy tale would happen. You know, he put me in a position to where Jasmine was able to come watch me get baptized here. You know, we kind of got things ticking for her. And then slowly, I mean, it's a fight, you know, but you stick to your guns and you just wake up every morning and you recommit. You say, hey, I'm giving this to you and I don't know what today's got in store for me, but I know that you're the biggest, baddest thing out there and you can tackle it.
I like that, biggest, baddest thing. He's a warrior. I like it.
Little disclaimer. I'm not 90. I sound this way because I got a cold. Been fighting that, but
Marvin Gaye.
Hey. So our story, I'll kind of tell you my path and let my wife tell you her path and kind of bring it back together. I believe that spiritual warfare in our life started long before we met each other and long before we even knew we were going to be married. We were both the product of divorced parents, my parents multiple times. I grew up in a household where there was a lot of fighting, a lot of yelling, just bickering, and just not a lot of, you didn't see a lot of that godly love, because, and I don't blame my parents for that, I love my parents, but they didn't know the Lord, and they didn't have a godly relationship, so they were living marriage by what the world said, and we know that you're not going to make it, you got to live by what God says, and so, I struggled with identity growing up, never had a godly father figure tell me who I was supposed to be based on what the Lord says, and so, I was introduced to pornography at a pretty young age, and so I just kind of started going the party, drug, alcohol route at a really young age, middle school, matter of fact. And then come high school, that pornography addiction kind of manifested, and so I just started looking at women as a source of pleasure and something I want to chase. And so I laid the drugs down after high school and just kept drinking and partying and just chasing women constantly. It was just never satisfied. Like, I was just never, even if I got whatever it is I was looking for, immediately the next day, it just wasn't enough. And so I met my wife, and I'll let you hear her story, and then I'll tie back in.
I got married at a very young age. It was never a healthy relationship. I wasn't led spiritually in that relationship at all. We had two kids, and I was the primary caretaker, the primary parent, the primary decision maker, disciplinarian, everything they needed, that's what I did. And then the marriage ended. It ended badly. It was messy. And then, you know, during that time that I was single, again, it was me being everything that the kids needed. I was the one who made all the decisions. I had, you know, complete control when it came to raising them and how they're going to be raised, how they're going to be disciplined, and just everything. Of course, during that time, I prayed that God would send someone who would love me and lead me, and who would love my kids like they belong to them and lead them. And when God answered my prayer and brought Corey, I found myself actually not wanting that. The love part was great, but when it came to being led, I was like, no, I'm just going to keep doing this. Like, I've got this. I've been doing it. And so there was a lot of resistance on my part to let him lead. And when I resist, the kids see that, and then they resist. And so it led to a lot of arguments, disagreements, to the point where we, you know, we wondered if we would ever agree on how we could raise the kids together. But eventually we discovered that it wasn't me and the kids against the world like it had been for so many years. And it wasn't me and the kids against Corey. And it didn't have to be me and Corey against the kids. It was the four of us together against the enemy that was trying to divide us. And so we started to fight in that way, and we still fight daily for that unity, because that's what the enemy is against. He's against the unity between us. And we have an opportunity, you know, to break that cycle. And so we have to fight for that every single day.
So I wasn't saved when we got married. And to be totally honest, I was still living very selfish early on in our marriage. By the grace of God, we came here. The Lord saved me. And we started living more for the Lord. And Of course, the enemy started pressing back, you know, because, you know, like Ephesians 6 says, you're in a battle, you're in a war. Whether you're fighting or not, the enemy's fighting you. So he's not going to stop. And so everything was going pretty good. And then, you know, we just started fighting a lot. And one day it culminated. And we got into an argument and we were just screaming and yelling. And the kids just took off running outside because they'd never heard us argue like that. And they came back and they said, I've never heard y'all anything like that. What is going on? And they were fairly young at the time. And, you know, the enemy I know for a fact was just sitting there laughing and just driving that wedge. And when he's got you on the ropes, he doesn't stop. He doesn't back off. He wants to knock out punch. He wants to end your marriage. He wants to lay you down for the count. And so a couple of days after that, and if you're in a blended family or a divorced family, you have stepchildren, I'm sure there's a possibility you've heard this. And I want to say, before I say what I'm about to say, know that this is the enemy using your children and their emotions against you. And shortly, a day or two after that, one of my stepchildren looked at me and just said, I hate you, and you're not my father, and I'm not ever going to listen to what you say because you're not my dad. And that hurt. I'm not gonna lie, it hurt. And I remember just thinking, I can't do this. Like, this is not, if this is what it's gonna be all the time, I can't do this. And because of my view of marriage growing up, I always was against marriage. I was like, I don't want to be married if that's what it's like. And so this started happening, and I thought, well, okay, this is not gonna work. So we're fighting all the time. And then the Lord spoke to me real soon after that and said, there was a time when you told me that you hated me and you turned your back on me, but I never turned my back on you, because you're my child and I love you and I'm always going to pursue you. And I realized that that's my calling as a stepfather, is to always pursue my kids, even in the times when it's difficult for them, because they love their father and I want them to love their father, but our relationship is different. And so it looks different. And so I just made a commitment then, and the Lord laid in my heart that we're going to fight against this generational curse, this generational sin of divorce, because look at the past 30, 40 years in this country and it's just running rampant. And so our job as parents is to, when we're with the kids and they're at our house, is to live our marriage as biblically and as godly as we possibly can. Now, we fight and we mess up all the time, yes, but we try to be quick to repent and apologize. And, you know, we don't necessarily always fight about sex and money like we talked about. A lot of times we fight about parenting styles, and we deal with issues of co-parenting. Like, we don't always see eye to eye with other parents, and that's part of being in a blended family. So, you know, I would just say, especially to men in this situation, you are called to fight and lead your family, and it's not always easy. And wives, you're called to fight for your husbands as well, and fight for your marriage and fight for your family, because the enemy wants nothing more than drive that wedge in and just to separate you and put you on sides and say, it's us against this person, it's this person against that person, but it's not what it's about. So fight in prayer. Fight to pray for your spouse. It's hard, I know, but you got to be intentional about that. And learn to let things go. You know, learn to just say, hey, I know they love me. I know they do. They're angry right now. Whatever the situation is, let's move on. Never go to bed angry. That's something that we try to always do. We try to never let sunset when we're angry. Has it happened before? I'm sure it probably has. But that's something that we really try to be intentional about.
Come on. I think the biggest pitfall to marriage is pride. You know, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you if I can pray for your marriage. There's a great possibility there are people sitting out here in this congregation right now that won't raise their hand. Number one, you're probably worried that I may say, think something's wrong with you. Number two, you may think you got it all together. Number three, you may be, well, I've been in church all my life. I've heard every message there is to hear, and, you know, a good message, Andy, but I ain't going to raise my hand. Y'all ain't going to go through the motions. It ain't got nothing to do with go through the motions. I really want to pray for you. Anytime we do that at the end of the, I believe in prayer. We're about prayer. I don't do that just to go through the motions. I do that because I want to pray for you. We got to drop our pride. There's some of you in this room that needs to go home. Probably a lot of us in this room. You know, there's a possibility. There are people in this room that's thinking, I ain't never had a marriage like Brian and Jazz's. I mean, I've never really fought with my wife and barked at her and hollered at her. We never really fight and scream at each other. Yeah, but really your roommates in your marriage. You live in different rooms and you share the bills and you share the roof, and there's really not much communication at your house. Y'all just do life together in the same house. And so I would say that's probably just as deceptive, if not worse, than barking at each other, because at least you're communicating a little bit. Maybe the wrong way. And I'd say the enemy's got you right where he wants you. And so just because you're not screaming at each other and hollering at each other doesn't mean that there doesn't need to be work in your marriage. I think that we can, I don't care how good it is, I think we can always work to be better. I think that's where another ploy of the enemy wants to get you right where you're at. Stay, you know, I'm just content with where I'm and I'm going to work on it. Some of you need to grab your spouse's hand when you get home and very adult-like, have an adult conversation and say, how can we communicate better? How can we fight more? How can we be more intentional? If the devil's going to be intentional about our marriage, then I want to be intentional about our marriage. And let me go ahead and give you this heads up. The more you're intentional about your marriage, the more the devil's going to be intentional about your marriage. He's going to fight you just as much. But you, listen, I want you to hear me. You listen to me, listen to me, listen. If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, the Spirit of God lives in you. The Bible says that God is the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah represents him as a warrior, a warrior. Listen, if he lives in you, then you have a warrior spirit living in you. And the enemy wants to suppress that to take the fight out of you, but the fight's still in you. And you've got to tap into the Lion of Judah. You've got to tap into the warrior spirit and go to war again for your family, especially men. Men, God's called you to be the leaders. He's called you to fight. And when you fight, your honey love fights. I want to tell you something, ain't nothing like a praying wife besides a praying granny. Praying granny might beat you. Praying wives are powerful. Ain't nothing like it. And you need to fight. God's put it in you. You just got to quit fighting the wrong fight. When you're fighting with your spouse, you're fighting the wrong fight. You fight for each other. Get your tail to church. Get in small groups. Love each other home. Go on some dates. Be kind to each other. Quit being a jerk. Quit being bossy and selfish. And quit being harsh. Quit nagging. Love them. Fight the lion. Quit fighting your spouse. Fight the lion that's trying to devour your spouse and you. Watch what God does. Father, we thank you for today. Teach us to fight.